This is Ruth Bowman. Today is Monday, July 18th, 1988. I am interviewing for the Archives of American Art Nicholas Wilder, an old acquaintance, and we may sidetrack a bit, but we'll get down the basic facts of Nicholas's enormous contribution to the art world, if I may be so flip. Nicholas, you are a graduate of Stanford.
No, not exactly.
Not exactly. You went to Stanford.
I'm a graduate of Amherst College.
Oh,
and
I see.
Went to law school at Stanford.
Oh.
And switched, knew after a semester or two that I wasn't going to be a lawyer. And yet I had grades enough to stay in Stanford. So I took my law exams and took the other route, which was into the arts.
Okay.
Okay, that works. I had been interested in art and art history and realized when I was uncommitted or non-committed as an undergraduate that it was easier to go to law school from Amherst to find that route out and then switch out of that than the reverse. It would have been very hard to try art history and then switch into law with the way the academics are set up. You know, so I went to Stanford Law School and then switched into the art department, which was happy for me and unhappy for the department because they weren't ready for MA type students in art history at the time. This was in 1961.
Really?
And it was before Elson and Eitner.
Oh, it was before
Elson?
Yeah,
it was. Elson had just come in from Indiana a year later for his first turnaround, or second, I can't remember. He came to Stanford for a while, then went back to Indiana, and then came back when Eitner was brought in for the head of the department. And Stanford's art department was dismal, academically. I don't think Stanford is a overrated school, which was good from department to department. The art department in those years wasn't one of those departments it is now.
Well, of course, Eitner made an enormous difference.
Well, there was no professor with a PhD in art history in the department when I went into it.
It's amazing, less than 30 years ago that things were that way.
Well, Stanford was very oriented toward the establishment science end of things, and I went into I actually studied under a professor in the classics department, who Hazel Hansen, and I think she was paid $8,900 a year, and the head of the department was paid $11,000 in the classics department, while the an engineering professor made $35,000. You know, that was that era.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't have an art department. They had a studio program.
So you were studying art history at a sort of undergraduate, graduate
level. I wanted to pick up undergraduate credits I didn't get at Amherst in order to go east to a PhD program. And I wanted NYU. I mean, I wanted, the institute here, or Columbia, or Harvard. And actually, I got in those places, but it's a complicated story. My advisor, who was in the classics department, I actually worked under. They devised that, and I worked on part of the Di Cesnola collection, which was
Di Cesnola?
Yeah, the Cypriot collection.
The Cypriot collection, part of which is here at the Met.
And part of Bryn Mawr.
Yeah. My school.
Yeah. And it... I guess Senator Stanford bought the residue of that collection after the Met got theirs and Bryn Mawr got theirs. They made an instant university at the turn of the century, and evidently it all fell down when the earthquake came in 06. And they literally bulldozed the museum, and so generations of Stanford students excavated at Stanford.
Yeah, it was that whole wing that they never rebuilt.
Right. And by the time I got there in the early 60s, the material had all been brought up above ground, but nothing, there were large areas where work hadn't been done.
Yeah, it's really the Cantor Garden is right over the old wing.
I guess so.
Yeah.